Farshas Va'era, Tavshin Pei Aleph. I think our discussion this time will be especially relevant to our times. I try to make it relevant all the time. I think it's particularly, for those who pay attention, I think you'll find it particularly relevant. The subtitle is Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who's the Farrowest of Them All? You'll excuse me for being tacky and insulting Snow White and even the Wicked Queen. Some of the ideas we're going to talk about now we've discussed before, but I think it's necessary to revisit them in order to grease the wheels of the direction that we're going in. Ben Abachia says, Adua ki paro v'amo rishoyim maminim bekadmus. Akadmus. Paro and his people are considered Rishayim in that they don't believe that there is a creator, that there is a order to the world other than just some sort of haphazard order, given that they don't believe there's a creator, they don't believe there's anyone involved in man's life, etc., etc. And the Ben Abachie continues, he says, V'yasod ha'ofar karnirmaz b'shmo. In other words, Paro was looking at the ofar, earth, physicality, the mundane things of life, or life right in the here and the now. That was what preoccupied him. This Rabbi Nabachi is speaking in the context of his dreams. He saw in Parshas Miketz, he saw the cows, he saw the stalks of grain coming out of the ground, coming out of the water, etc., the lower elements. Because that's what he was preoccupied with. Ofar, the earth, the dust of the earth. How can I get more? How can I be more successful? How can I can show that it's revolving around me? As the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Paro says, Li yoriv ani asisini. The Yor is mine, and it's as though I bring it to Tikkun. Everything is revolving around me. This is the idea that I think substantiates from Chazal here, the idea that why can there be any claim on a person to believe? He doesn't see it like that. You can't prove it to him. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. How can there be a claim on a person to the point in which that we say if he doesn't believe, he's considered Rasha? Why? I don't see it that way. No one taught it to me that way. Now again, we know there is a concept of Tinok Shenishma, of people who are raised in a foreign culture, and they're not considered responsible for not being able to come to these ideas of Torah and truth, etc. Certainly with observance of the Torah. But the idea of faith is considered something so fundamental and so natural. And a person, if he looks out in the world, and we're talking, let's say, about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu intuitively understood that reality is much bigger than he. He's a piece of that reality, and therefore he felt as though I'm a piece of something bigger. It's not revolving around me. If anything, I'm revolving, I'm like a planet in orbit around something much greater, or I'm a piece of this reality. This is what we refer to as Chelek Elokam Mimal, as though he is a part of God. Reality is God. God is reality. The fact that he saw direction in the world, in spite of all of the difficult things that the world is punctuated with, but he saw a general direction of the world, an order to the world, an order of giving to the world, an order of giving to the world, of one thing leading to the next, etc. This is what it was referred to as he saw a bira dolekis, he saw a lit castle, but not just lit. The Sfasema says the terminology dolekis doesn't just mean lit, it also means from the expression of Lama Dalakta Acharai. Yaakov said to Laban, why have you run after me? He saw a process. He saw a process and movement. Why have you run after me? He saw a Biro Dolekis. He saw there was a direction to the world. And it appears that this is considered something that a person who is not blinded by his own midos, by his own egocentric view of things, a person will come to this. Again, he came to a point he couldn't do any more, and then, as the Medrash says, Kosh Baruch Hu peered out at him after he saw this Biro Dolekis. Heiti Tzalav Bala Biro, that's the terminology the Medrash uses, that the master of this castle that seemed to be moving right? Right, this lit castle seemed to be moving in direction. Hey, Tzitzalav Balavira, the master of the universe, peered out at him and says, Ani Balavira, you've done as much as you can do. I will speak to you now. I will talk to you. Lech Lecha. Again, it's not our job description to redo what Avram did. We're his children. It's part of our spiritual genetic makeup. We stood at Har Sinai. Once again, it was engraved upon our hearts, the experience of Har Sinai. All we have to do is just make sure that we don't cover it up, or at least we remove the blockages that prevent us from being in contact with these truths, the truths of faith. So Paro, and that's the Medrash is telling us over here, Paro is preoccupied with the afar, the here and the now, the mundane. How he can get more, how he can be more successful, how he can have more power, etc., etc. And that's why Ha'afar, right, Ha'afar, is Osios Paro. By the same token also, Chassam Sofer brings down from earlier sources that Paro is Klipas Ha'orif. Paro is Ha'orif, the nape of the neck. He's faced in the opposite direction. He's faced in the opposite direction from speaking to Hashem. His, as it were, his nemesis, excuse that word, or the one who's trying to educate him, I should say, really, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Hashem panim al panim, face to face. That's because Moshe, as we will learn in Parshas Baloscha, is a anav mikol adam, the most humble of all people. Therefore, he speaks to Hashem panim al panim. Paro is the most egocentric, as the pasuk says in Yechezkel, attributed to Paro, Leo Rivan, yes, he's seen it. The Nile is mine, it's as though I made it. Made it, I use it, it's for my benefit. It's all revolving around Paro. Moshe is the total unav, Paro is the total egomaniac. And therefore, Moshe speaks to Hashem panim al panim, face to face. He's making a connection. And Paro is ha'orif, the nape of the neck, he's facing the opposite direction. Again, these are ideas that we discussed before. Let's continue a step further. And this is also an idea that we discussed before. The Arizal says, Melech, a person should be a Melech, right? What is meant to be a Melech? He should be a king. A person should be a king over his own being. What does that mean? Moach, Lev, Kovet. Moach is the intellect, Lev is the heart, Kovet is the liver. The Moach is associated with the pure truths, the Torah truths. Hopefully that person has absorbed. A person's neshama, right? His neshama, we say every day, Elokai, Rabbeinu Shalom, neshama shenasata bi tahorahi. The soul that you placed inside of me is pure. The truths of the Torah in the mind. The lave is the fulcrum. It's the balance point between the teeter-totter of the mind and the kaved. The kaved, the liver, we know, as we are taught, is full of blood. Full of blood. And as such, when you kosher a liver, obviously not a human liver, when you're koshering an animal liver, a beef or a fowl, it can't be salted, unlike other meat. Other meat can be salted. Not a liver. Liver needs to be seared over an open flame because it's cool or dumb. So much dumb. That's the world of the person's drives. So therefore, the moach, the intellect, the world of truth, stands at one pole. We're not coming to neuter the person. The drives are meant to be there, but they're meant to be at the bottom of his stance. And the middle is the heart, the battleground. Who's going to win? Will the intellect guide the organism with the truths of the Torah, the values of the Torah? And then the heart will beat, not just physically beat, but the heart, as it were, the seat of a person's affect, of his ruach. Which way will he go? Where is midos? How does he apply himself in life? And then the drives are at the bottom. And the drives are meant to be there, but they're meant to be at the bottom. A person who is built like that, mem, moach, lamet, lev, Kovet, right? Kof, he's a melech. If he flips himself upside down, so then that is osios kelem, shame. He has taken the greatness of the Tzelem Elohim, and he's flipped it upside down. Doesn't mean the person becomes a moron. He can be quite brilliant. But the intellect now is there to serve the drives. As a person upside down, his kaved on the top, his drives on the top. That's going to set to be the metronome of this person's life. And therefore, now the intellect is subservient to it, supplying me with more toys, supplying me with more fun, supplying me with more. Just look at our present world, right? Right. And as such, the mitos, what should I love, what should I hate, what should I respect, what should I disdain, everything's turned upside down. And I think that's fairly common for anybody who's in touch with the news or the non-news, as the case may be. With regard to the pasuk that said, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kaved Lev Paro, here in our Parsha, Parsha Vayera, Kaved Lev Paro, so the Medrash says, Naase Libo Kaved, Af Libo Shalzeh Naase Kaved. His heart has become a liver. At first glance, this seems a little bit strange, right? We're not planning on doing this. It's hard enough to make a heart transplant, a liver transplant, to turn a heart into a liver. Seems to be like, But the idea, once we've explained that a melech, moach, lev, kaved, is a person, intellect, midos, drives, top, middle, bottom, flipped upside down, drives, midos, intellect, etc. So we understand what the Medrash is telling us. Naase libo kaved, or kaved. Naase, what I call it, is kaved, is now what we call it, conquered the heart. Right? Because now the heart has been infiltrated with the drives. He can no longer discern between the pure sort of mitos that he's meant to have filtering down from his intellect. Instead, it's the drives, as it were, getting a little bit of refinement rather than just being totally animalistic. They get new refinement, perhaps, in the world of lyrics, of music, etc. Nasa libo kovei. Fine. These are all ideas that we discussed before. Now let's discuss, I think, something new. The verb, as you see here in the source sheet, the verb la'atir, hey, ayin, tof yud resh, appears only by Yitzchak when Yitzchak was praying for his wife Rivka to be able to give birth, to be able to conceive and give birth. It says, Vayetai Yitzchak lenochach ishto. Yitzchak prayed, and the verb that's used there is Vayetar. We'll discuss what that means in a moment. And then that word disappears out of the lexicon of the Torah until it appears, reappears once again here in Parshas Vayera. And then several times again with regard to Paro. It reappears here in our Parsha, and it's said several times. These are lessons, obviously, in Tefillah. The fact that the terminology of Vayetar or Ha'atiru, the root being Ayin Tav Resh, appear with regard to Paro, something unique with regard to Tefillah is being taught here. And the question is, how much is Paro actually integrating? So let's take a look. V'chein shamati, this is the Sfasemis in Vayera. Al bashakosa ba'amakos, achakach v'yeyatar Moshe, v'yeyatar. Ki al yidei ha-makos niftechu asara l'shonos shel tefilo. V'chol atzara sh'ovru ala v'oseinim etzayim haya kidei lavo l'bechinas ha-tefilo. So the Sfasemis over here is giving us a prologue. That the limudim, right, the terminology of Yetar Moshe, and we see other terminologies as well. We'll see Mayitzak, we'll see Prisas Kapayim, opening of the hands, etc. These are terminologies associated with Tefillah. They're taught over here, within the context of the Makos, to teach, as it were, to lay a foundation for the Jewish people, that you're going to learn the Nusach of Tefillah, I've had a daven out of a state of tzara. It'll be exemplified. It'll be demonstrated before you with regard to Moshe and how he deals with Paro. The concepts, the processes of tefillah will be demonstrated over here. But this is something for you to walk away with afterwards. It's interesting. The Sfas uses the terminology that the ten lashonos, asar lashonos shel tefillah, this is the foundation. Just as it's fascinating, the Sfas Emes, the Maharal speaks about it before, but the Sfas Emes elaborates on the idea that just as the Esar Makos were meant to strip away the cheap shellac that had covered over the Asar Mamoros, we know that Pirkei Avos illuminates, right, delineates for us the ten, right, Mamoros. Ten mamoros with which the world was created. Hashem is meant to be seen. Each mimer is meant to be seen. Again, not seen, right, with your flesh and blood eyes, but understood through the way you view the world. But as the years went by, much garbage was heaped upon these, so you didn't see the mamoros again. You didn't recognize Hashem as the creator, as we saw, as we started off with. People believed in Kadmos. People believed in manipulating forces in the stars that were, they're there. We can manipulate them, we can get what we want from them, etc. So the Esar Makos stripped away the cheap shellac that had covered over the Asar Mamoros. The Esar Makos, by stripping that away, they provide a prelude to the Aseres HaDibros, which we'll receive at Sinai. And in the experience of the Makos in Mitzrayim itself, says the Sfas Emes and Sfas Chiddush, we are learning a little bit about tefillah, the ten lashonos of tefillah. These ten lashonos of tefillah, it's not our topic right now, but in Parshas Ve'eschanan, the Medrash talks about it there, the ten lashonos of tefillah. Very interesting. The series of ten mamoros to which the world was created, ten Makos to rectify the damage done to those Esar Mamoros and to lay a prelude to the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments to receive at Sinai. And as the Sfas Emes is Mecharish over here, in the name of his father, the grandfather, the Chiddush Yerim, that we learn the Ten Lashonos of Tefillah. This is the introduction to the Ten Lashonos of Tefillah, as we see the process of Tefillah taking place inside Yetzias Mitzrayim. So let's go a step further. Vayetar Yitzchak, the first time that it appears, Vayetar Yitzchak, the verb, Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto, ki akara hi, Vayetar lo ha'Hashem v'tahar Rivka ishto. What does that mean, Vayetar? Says the Medrash. Two explanations. Fascinating. Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto, Rabbi Yochan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochan Amar sheshofach tfilos ba'osher. He poured out tfilos ba'osher? In wealth? Well, the Lashon Atar, Ayin Tuf Reish, so the Tuf and the Shin are interchangeable, and in Aramaic, right? The idea of Atar can also refer to Osher, wealth. Okay? What does it mean to pray out of wealth? Reish Lakish Omar, continues the Medrash, Shehipech es Agzera. Right? He turned over the Gzera. That which Reish Lakish says is illuminated in the Gemara and Yevamos and other places as well. Amrav Yitzchak, Lama Nimshala Tvila San Shal Tzadikim Ka'atar. Here the idea is like a pitchfork. The Atar here in the Medrash is the way Reish Lakish is understanding it, and the way the Gemara is understanding it. The Atar is like a pitchfork. Ma Atar zeh b'hapecha tfuah, just as the pitchfork, right, takes the tfuah, takes the grain, and lifts it up from one place and puts it down in another place. Kach tfilosan shel tzadikim, so too the tfilah of the tzadikim, ma'hapechas midosov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mimidas ragzonos l'midas rachmonos. So too the tfilos of the tzaddikim have the capacity to transform or recall to change the midos, the way that Hashem is dealing with us, from one of anger to one of rachamim, of mercy, of love. So that we can hear, it's very colorful, It's like an atar, ayin tav resh, it's like a pitchfork. Picking it up, the bale, and placing it someplace else. Okay. The other terminology of atar as meaning lashon of osher, as Rabbi Yochanan said, that's a little bit more inscrutable. It says the Ksav Sofer, by atar Yitzchak, malamed shehispalu ba'osher. This is back in Parshas Tolos. Omer, gam ki Yitzchak shelo hayelo ben, lo yispal b'shvil atzmo. Because it says, vayatar Yitzchak nochach ishto, that Yitzchak was responsible for Rivka. He focused on his wife. Ki haya sameach b'yisurim. This is the osher. I have a connection with Hashem. He's making things difficult for me. This is matim. This is appropriate for somebody like Yitzchak, who is the master of midas hadin. He accepts it. He's in the state of osher. I know that this is necessary. Like Ezwa Ashira Sameach Bechelko. That's what Rav Yochanan is referring to. V'chi Ratzon Hashem Kachu. I accept that this is Ratzon Hashem. Aval lo yuchal liros mitzara shel osa tzadekes Rivka v'yispalel ba'ada. But he couldn't bear Rivka's suffering. So fascinating. How on the one hand, a person perceives vis-a-vis himself, and this is such a big lesson, right? Such a big lesson. That for a person can be accepting for himself. He's like an ashir. Ezo ashir asameach b'chelko. The atar is the lashon osher. The tough and the shin interchangeable. But vis-a-vis his wife Rivka? No, how can I leave her suffering like this? I must change things. There the atar is to change the gzeira, to change the way that Hashem is being mashkiach. To cause it to, as it were, now be revealed, his Hashem should be revealed through the avenue of Rachmanis rather than through the avenue of Din. A step further. Bervache, also, in the discussion of the idea of the atar, right? Mitam zehiz ki loshem v'yatar, v'loy ma v'yispalo. V'chein yivinu zal, v'sha'omer bel v'kam, per kamen esukah, means from sukah we brought from Yavamas, lama nimshon tifilosen shel tzadikim v'atar, ma'atar zeh mahapech ha'gorin hazeh mimokom lamokom kach tfilosem shel tzadikim mahapech az daito shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimidach zoris l'midas rachmanus. Right? And he continues, kach ha'tzadik b'tfiloso machshavto mishotetes ve'olo mimata l'malo v'achakach mamshichu moed ha'shefa mimalo l'mata. I think what the Rebbeinu Bachya is telling us, okay, what does this mean that the das of the tzaddik, as he's mispalled, his machshava, first is, what he called, is mimata, lemala, and then lemata. Mishotetes v'ola mimata, lemala, and then back down lemata. What does that mean? In other words, he is simulating the action of a pitchfork. You drive the pitchfork down into the bale, or the bundle, whatever it happens to be. You lift it up, you place it back down someplace else. What the Rebbeinu Bachya is telling us is this is the methodology of the atar. He's combining, as it were. There's no machlokis here. There's no machlokis here between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the Medrash. When Rav Yochanan uses the word atar to mean is ashir, sameach, he's sameach. I have no tainas. I have no tainas. Right? And at the same time, then he lifts it up and he puts it down someplace else. The idea being that this is how tefillah works. First, there is an acceptance. I accept. I don't have tainas on you. I don't have a tvi on you, Hashem. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're not wrong. Nonetheless, Hashem, my request is, and this is what tefillah can do, tefillah rises above, right? It reaches the headwaters of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha descends from. Right now, the avenue, those headwaters are going down a conduit, going down an avenue of din. the koach of tefillah as a person connects to the Rabbono Shalom by saying, I am your creation, I have nothing without you. He has now reached a place where he's at the very beginning of those headwaters, before, as it were, they are mitpatzel, before they subdivide into different routes, into different conduits to come down in the form of hashgach upon man on earth. At that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I have no tainus on you. I'm not claiming that what you've done is wrong. I accept that. But I'm asking that your hashgacha, because you're kol yachol, that your hashgacha, your connection to man, be routed via, right, the avenue of rachamim, rather than through the avenue of din. And you can accomplish the same thing. You can accomplish the same thing. No one's going to subvert your Ratzon Hashem. You go this avenue, go that avenue, it'll be accomplished. Why there was din to begin with is a separate issue, and that's not our discussion at the moment. But that's the koach of tefillah. First down, I accept. Up to the headwaters of where hashgacha upon man, yeah, begins to become more variegated. It is where it divides up into this pathway and this pathway. And now my request is, rather than going down the pathway of din, I should go down the pathway of rachamim. This is the koach of the tzaddik. This is the koach of the tzaddik. They tell a story about the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Right? They tell a story about the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The first Leil Shabbos, after the camps were liberated, he gathers together perhaps 20 people. We're talking in a DP camp, or perhaps it was, I don't know, maybe the camp itself, I don't know. I don't remember where the exact venue it was. Maybe 20 people were willing to daven with him Leil Shabbos. Thousands of Jews here. No one wants to daven. 20 people, maybe. And he came to the Ribbono Olam, right? Leil Shabbos, after Shalom Aleichem, before Esh Hashchayil. And he began to sing and cry. Again, he finished the davening, singing and crying and singing and crying. And in that Nusach, Ribbono Olam, it says, Ki hidlakti neorsai, neorsai, vitzati mitosi. I have lit my candles, right? And I have made my beds l'chovet Shabbos. I've lit the candles l'chovet Shabbos, and I've neatened up the beds l'chovet Shabbos. And he began to sing, Ki hidlakto mitosi. You have lit my bed. You have lit my bed. Not I lit my candles, but you have lit my bed. Ki hidlakto mitosi. And I have no tainus. And I have no tainus. He lost his wife and 11 children. Hidlakto mitosi. You set fire to my bed. But I have no tainus. That was the Kloisenberger Rebbe. That was the Kloisenberger Rebbe. He was able to say that and still be a miming, an unbelievable miming in what he didn't do, what he didn't do, what he didn't do, what he didn't accomplish. The next day, several hundred Jews came to daven. The koach of tefillah. Vayeta. So far we've talked about Bereishis. Now let's come here to Va'era. In the Makkah of Tzfardea. V'yikra paro l'moshe l'aron v'yomer hatiru el Hashem. There it is. There's the verb. Hatiru el Hashem v'yasara tzfardeim. Pray to Hashem, the lashon of Hatara, and remove the tzfardeim. Moshe says to Paro, hitpayer alai. Nu? Try and make yourself into a big cheese, you know, trying to see if you can outsmart me. When should I pray for you and your servants to remove the tzvardim? So the lashon that Paro suggests is ha'atiru. Moshe is tzoik. Mefarshim say, I don't get lost too much in it. The Mefarshim say is Ibn Ezra, the Tolos Yitzchak, that's the uncle of the Beis Yosef. The Moshe was tzoik because he was in a pickle now. He had suggested, right, to Paro to pick a time. Like, Hashem hadn't told him that. He suggested Paro, you know, no, tell me a time. And so Paro said, tomorrow. Now, if Hashem doesn't do what Moshe claimed to be able to do, then Moshe's credibility is lost. He's tzoik to Hashem. He calls out to Hashem. The Lashonim that told us, Yitzchak, Lezet tzak atel, if he should call kvodo ayatoli bezos amaka, he would lose all atol's credibility if he couldn't do it. Vezeu sha'omer al dvar atzvardim eshasam laparo perush ba'amur dibur atzvardim eshasam Moshe im paro kishrabu lo yitpa'er alai. The dibur, the dvar, right, dvar atzvardim. What he said about the tzvardim, tell me when you want me to get rid of them. Okay, that's really a side point. Moshe's tzaka, but that's also a lashon of tefillah. But the hatiru, what does Paro want over here? Paro wants the koach of the atar. You claim you can change this? You claim this is from your God? Let's see you change it. Let's see you pray to change it. In Avodah Zarah, there is no prayer. It doesn't change anything. You prepared yourself in a way that you were able to receive the, just like the sun's rays, you know, can give you a tan. They're also kochos for those who are familiar with those kochos. If you prepared yourself in a certain way, you became like a magnet and you drew down certain kochos. But you couldn't pray because these kochos have no rutzon. Again, remember, they believed in kadmus. There is no rutzon. There is no will. There just is. But you believe that there's a creator, Moshe. No. Let's see the koach of the atar. Let's see the koach of change. Not the atar of Ezo Asher Samechem Kechalko, a person who, as it were, accepts the justice of Hashem first and then afterwards changes. Paro wants to see the change. So indeed, Moshe changes. Tzvardim leave. Later on in the Oruf, the wild animals, Paro says over here, Vayomer Paro, Anochi Ashalach Eschem, I'll send you out. I'll send you out. Uzvachtem Lashem Elokeichem Bamidbar. Rakachekul Sarchikul Aleches Ahatiru Badi. It's funny. Farshim point out that the order is a little bit cockeyed. Right? The order should be, really, right? The order should be that pray for me, and then I will send you out. No, Paro is, he's getting it a little bit. He's getting it a little bit. Hatiru Badi. Says the Targum, I'll send you out. Tzalu af alai. Pray also for me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me what? I don't know. Help me maybe change a little bit. Perhaps. But he can't stick to it. Can't stick to it. He doesn't stick to it. All right. Afterwards, he doesn't send them out. He doesn't send them out. In Borad, the last of the Makos in our Parsha. Vayishlach Paro vayikru l'moshe l'aron vayomra aleim. Chatasi apam, Hashem atzadik vani v'amir reshoim. That's pretty good. He admits. Perhaps that was a little bit of his tzalu afalai. Pray for me, Moshe. Pray for me. Right? Pray for me. Don't know. But he says, he admits over here, Hashem HaTzadik V'ani V'ami Yorai Shoyim. Farshim say, he calls Hashem HaTzadik because he saw, in addition to the hail coming down, also rain came. And the rain was useful for what was still in the ground that hadn't come up yet. The chita, right? The wheat hadn't come up. The seora had come up. It had been broken by the barad. But the chita was being watered. He says, oh, look at this. Look at this. This God of the Jews, who they say is the creator of everything. He really is a tzaddik. Even though I'm not listening to him, he's sending down rain. Of course, when, after Moshe Davins, right, after Moshe Davins, and everything disappears, it was a test for Paro also. Not only did the Bora, did the hail stop, right? Not only the hail stop, but also the The rain stopped. And Paul has a hissy fit. Why'd it stop? Why'd you stop? Of course, it's ridiculous. You didn't deserve it in the first place. But that's the nature of egocentric people. They don't discern that they're getting bent out of shape over the loss of something they never deserved in the first place. And of course, he refuses to send them out again. But let's return to the idea of Hatiru. Hatiru Badi, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And this time, what does it say? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vefros es kapay el Hashem. Moshe said, I will open my hands towards Hashem. Why is that terminology used over here, open my hands towards Hashem? So listen to this fascinating Sefer Haredim. Fascinating Sefer Haredim. He says, Hatfila mitzvah seim in HaTorah. Okay, fine. And in addition, he says, Limdu razal, Chazal taught us, the tzorach shu yodav shel adam betfilo zu al zu al libo ke'eved lifnei rabo. Again, this is brought down in the postgame. If you're diving from a sitter, you obviously can't do this. If it works for you, you should do it. If it doesn't work for you, so to make yourself nervous and not be able to concentrate, then don't do it. But optimally, if a person is diving from a sitter, his right hand should be on his left hand, right? And on his heart, like an eved lifnei rabo. Like a servant before his master. Okay. Then continues the Sefer Haredim. Because of Avram ben Oshel Arambam, Avram ben Arambam, the Hani Mili, the idea of having your right hand clasped over your left hand upon your heart, are then the three brachos Rishonos and the three brachos Achronos. Those brachos that are not brachos of supplication, of request. The brachos of praise of one sort or another. Aval be'emtzayos, the intermediate brachos, shehein she'ela, they are bakosha, tzorach shiu yodav prusos, kederach hashoel. You should be like an ani at the door, requesting. Moshe is teaching another lesson to Paro. Paro's talked about Ha'atiru, right? Ha'atiru. To, right? Change the gzera, like we said, the atara, the pitchfork, changes the position of the bale of grain from one place to the next, the sheave of grain from one place to the next. So to change Hashem's conduct vis-a-vis me, his providence vis-a-vis me, from Din to Rachamim. But Moshe wants to teach Paro another lesson. Vefros es kapai. In supplication, like an ani, like an ani, not just like an eved before his master. Those are the first three brachos and last three brachos. But now vefros es kapai, like an ani, like a poor person standing at the door. I have nothing without you. I ask of you, I beg of you. Beg of you. This is the last lesson of tefillah that Moshe tried to teach Paro. This would have led him, had he understood this, had he accepted this. And Paro was not a fool, right? If he had accepted this, he would have understood the full concept of La'atir. I have nothing without you. I have no claims on you. You are my source. Everything I have, my very being is yours. I'm asking. I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. This is the full concept of La'atir, not just change. Paro just wants to change it, change it, change it, Moshe, change it, change it, change it. And Moshe is trying to communicate to him, and finally, Vefros es kapai, I will hold out my hands like a person who's asking a poor man at the door, I have nothing without you. In order to generate change, right? To generate change, I need, as it were, to realize that I have nothing without you. This is not a game. I'm not manipulating God. by showing that I recognize my connection to him and my place vis-a-vis him, and that I'm nothing more than an extension of his will, that's what gives me this incredible koach to be able to redirect his will. Just as we saw the combination of the two ideas of Atar, of on the one hand, Izo Asher Samech V'chelko, I accept the din. I have no tainus. The Kolzenberger, I have no tainus. But V'cholzos, the same Kolzenberger Rebbe, used to say to the Rebbe Shalom, do nisim for your children. How many Bali Tshuva did you have from the Shoah? How many did you have from the Six-Day War? That's the Kolzenberger Rebbe said. The same Kolzenberger Rebbe who said, Hidlakto mitosi. You set fire to my bed and I have no tainus. That same Kolzenberger Rebbe could say, Bon Shalom, deal with your children with Rachmanis. You get more mileage out of it. Like Lady Yitzchak Berdichev, right? Defending the Jewish people. Because who am I? That's the lesson. That's the koach of Ayatar. Let's just conclude with one thing. We saw initially that the Gemara said that the tefillah of the tzaddikim is used as like an atar. Because the tzaddikim are so completely capable of saying, I have no tainus. I accept the din. Nonetheless, I'm asking you, please, Rabbon Shalom, reroute the hashgacha through the avenue of rachamim and not through the avenue of din. Sefer Ikrim says, don't think that you deserve what you have. A person sometimes doesn't daven because I don't deserve it. Says the Sefer Ikrim, that's a false way of perceiving the world because nobody has anything because they deserve it. Everything is Hashem's chesed. So even if you think you're not so worthy and even if your view of yourself is totally chopped liver, but the request of tefillah is, as the Ikrim continues, I don't deserve. But that's why you sustain the entire world, Hashem. You sustain it in chesed and rachamim. And therefore, I'm entitled to be mispalel. And therefore, if my tefillah is heartfelt, then indeed, I know you respond to my tefillah. Not because I deserve, but because I've made the statement that I am your creation and I'm asking for your chesed and for your rachamim. This is speaking to us. This is speaking to us, and that was the intention with this sort of tacky title, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who's the Farthest of Them All? We are going through, the world is going through difficult times. Times of upheaval. Times of people lost their lives. People lost their livelihoods. Those of us who are left, Baruch Hashem, right? We need to daven. But we need to daven deeply. We need to understand the double message of Ayatar. We need to understand it's not just, you know, Hashem just take it away so we can go back to the way we were. Hashem didn't schlep the entire world out of sync in order that his children should daven, just bring it back to the way it was. We want times to be good again, but not that we should go back to the way we were, complacent beforehand. We want to learn the lessons of tefillah, the lessons of vayetar, the lessons of I have no tainus, but b'chol zos Hashem. The lessons of developing a closeness with Hashem and realizing that He is the Creator, not like Paro believed in Kadmus, or not just faking it, right? Walking the walk and talking the talk. Mitzvahs Hanashim Lumada, the things we do by rote. It's a wake-up call. Of course we want, right, that our lives should be normal again. But we want them to be normal on a backdrop, in a context of our living more, in a more focused fashion. That normalcy, as it were, should not be the goal. But normalcy, the removal of the pressure and the distress, should just be a canvas upon which we paint a much more exquisite picture than what we were before. We cannot, absolutely cannot be mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the farthest of them all. If it revolves around us, just give me what I want, fix it, remove it, I don't have to think about this anymore. Then all the livelihoods, and Rahman's on all the lives that were lost, was for what? To show we should return to what things were before? It's like the Rambam says in Hilchos Tainis, when a person just attributes the difficulties of life to chance, there's nothing more achzari than that, there's nothing crueler than that. It's cruel, it's cruel. Because what we're doing then is we're asking that this, God forbid, this slap on the face should be perpetuated. Because otherwise, what's it there for, if not to wake us up? Vayetar, Vayitzak, Vefrosis Kapai El Hashem. Those are the lessons we need to learn. We shouldn't shy away from davening because we think we're not worthy, as Ikun taught us. But on the other hand, we need to focus that our davening should reconnect us to Hashem, and not just be a band-aid, yeah, solving the ills of the moment. Tin Hashem, we should learn these lessons well. And just like in the Parshios and Shmos, after Vayera there's a bow, and there's a Bashalach, and then afterwards there's a Yisro. We should be Zohar to the same as well. Amen.